were made, and they made hijrat from Makkah to Madinatul Munawwara, and thereafter after deen flourished and deen spread throughout the four corners of the world. Nevertheless, we say time is moving, time is going by so fast, at such a rapid pace. And in the similar way, so too is our life as well. That our life also is passing in this manner, this rapid pace is our life. The poet explains beautifully the similarity of our life to that of an ice block. They say, Ho rahi hai umar mithle baraf kam, chupke chupke rafta rafta dam badam. That this is the example and the similarity is given of a person's life to that of an ice block, a block of ice that is taken out of the freezer and it's put out to lay out, and how so silently, so quietly, without any fuss, without any, really, any, making any noise or any spotlight on it, but slowly and silently that block of ice is melting away. That water is turning into water, into vapor, and slowly as the minutes go by, the water is slight, the block of ice slowly and silently, it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Whether somebody takes notice of it, whether somebody acknowledges what's happening, or whether or people just ignore it, but that block of ice is melting. And eventually a time will come when there will be no more block of ice. Everything will disappear. So this is the example of our life. Whether we use it profitably, whether we utilize it, or whether we sleep our whole life, but our life will pass by. And eventually a time will come when our life also will be passed on, and our life will be gone, just like that block of ice, never to return once again. Silently our life is going past. So this is the example. Every breath that we take, it's one breath gone. And every minute and second that passes by, it's a minute and a second closer to our mort, to our death. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran and Majid, on many, many verses and occasions, Allah ta'ala speaks about the changing of day and night, of night and day. يُقَلِّبُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارُ. The changing of the night. يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. How the day goes to night, the night goes to day. That every morning when the sun rises, it's a new day. It's one day of our life that's going to be passed on. Every day that every night that the sun sets is one night that has passed, never to be returned. So this is something for us to take ibrah, to take lesson. That a new year has come about. It's one year of our life that has passed away. In the past, it was the tradition of some people, some countries, tradition that on a person's birthday, today we celebrate birthday, although it's not permissible, but we find people, whether Muslim, whether non-Muslim, but it's a very special occasion, people take it. Day I was born, birthday, I'm 1 year older, and we have a big party, a big celebration. But it is mentioned that the people of the past, some countries and some nations of the past, what was the traditional way of celebrating the birthday of somebody? That they would sit and gather together and they would cry and they would mourn and they would lament. Why? Because 1 year of my life has passed. I have become 1 year older. 1 year closer to my death. These were kuffar, whoever they were. But they understood that my birthday means 1 day closer to mort, to my life after the hereafter. 1 day closer to my death. Therefore, they would lament and they would mourn that day. Today, we take it a day of celebration. Why? We have forgotten what is in front of us mort. That the day is going to come very soon when I will have to leave this dunya, I have to leave this world. So this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, this is something which is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should utilize it correctly. Imam Hatim rahmatullah alayhi, who was a great wali and a buzurg of his time, he lived such a life, you have to read his life, then one will envy this person's life, how he lived his life in the obedience and in the steadfastness of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So towards the latter part of his life, before he could pass away, then somebody asked him that how was it such that you were so steadfast in the commandments and in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that how you managed to remain so steadfast your entire life in fulfilling the obedience, staying in the obedience and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he replied and he said, four things. Keep in mind four things. Bear four things in mind. Let not these four things deceive you. that I was mindful of these four things. And these four things generally deceive a person, so let not these four things deceive you. And these things, when I was always aware of these four things, I always kept these things in front of me, this helped me to remain steadfast in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentions the first thing he says, that what I realized and understood and kept me steadfast in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout my entire life. That he says, I understood and I realized that my rizq and my sustenance has been decreed by Allah ta'ala. That this is something Allah ta'ala has already stipulated for me. That what is meant to come to me will never go to anybody else. And what was not meant for me cannot come to me. He said, this I've understood and realized, that my rizq and my sustenance can never go to anybody else. And he says, this made it easy for me to remain steadfast in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we find on many occasions, this is something a person in search of his rizq and his rozi and his sustenance, so much of fikr, so much of concern, that many a times he falls in the disobedience of Allah ta'ala. Chasing after his rozi, his rizq and his sustenance, he ends up in the disobedience of Allah ta'ala. So if a person understands that my rizq, my rozi, my sustenance is in the control of Allah, it has already been stipulated and already been decreed how much will come to me, that a person will not break the commands of Allah ta'ala in pursuit of his rozi, his rizq and his sustenance. And if you look at insan today, each one has to look at our own life. I look at my life, my day, my week, my month. That how much in the 24 hours of the day, after you take out the time that we are sleeping, that how much of my constructive time of the day is in pursuit of my rozi and my sustenance. We'll find majority of the time, most of the hours is given towards this. So he says, I understood and I realized that this has been decreed to Allah ta'ala. So I will not disobey Allah ta'ala in pursuit of my rozi and my rizq and my sustenance. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَن تَمُوتَ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا. That no person will pass away until what has been stipulated for him, his rozi and his rizq and his sustenance does not reach him. Until whatever has been decreed for you has does not reach you, does not come to you, you will never leave this dunya. So whatever is meant for you, you must receive it before you pass away. So he says, this is the first thing I understood and I realized. And this made it easy for me to remain steadfast and utilize my time correctly. We're talking about time. That this new year has come about, it's another year, it's another opportunity. How are we utilizing our time? So this made it easy for me to utilize my time profitably in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says the second thing which I've understood and I realized and that kept me steadfast, kept my focus and my vision in line, is that I understood and I realized that I have to fulfill the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala myself. What Allah ta'ala has made me responsible for, fulfilling the commands of Allah ta'ala, I have to do it. What is compulsory, for example, what is fard upon me, that I have to read my salah, then I have understood and realized that it's upon me that I fulfill this duty. If zakat is compulsory upon me, then I have to fulfill this duty of zakat. If hajj is compulsory, if Ramadan has come, then I have to fulfill this fard, this duty of Allah ta'ala. Nobody else will be able to fulfill this duty of mine. And together with fulfilling that duty, that I will have to give accountability as well. That on the day of Qiyamah, Salah, I will have to read my own Salah. Nobody else can read Salah for me. And together with that, on the day of Qiyamah, I will have to give accountability for my deeds and my actions. That what all those ni'mats and all those bounties and favors of Allah Ta'ala that I have enjoyed, that I will have to give accountability to Allah Ta'ala. How did I use those ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala? Whether it was used in the obedience of Allah or whether it was used in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. He says, when I've understood and realized this, there's something called accountability and I have to fulfill my own responsibilities. Nobody can do it for me. Then it became easy for me to fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala because I will have to give accountability. And many a times we feel that accountability, just how I earn my rosy, or accountability with my salah and my zakat. But we forget that we have to give accountability for every ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Sometimes we feel Allah has blessed someone with wealth, so he must give accountability. I got no wealth, I got no accountability. But how much of ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, that the wealthiest of wealthy people, the poorest of poor people are enjoying those ni'mats of Allah. We have to give accountability for that. No matter how small and how insignificant it may seem to be, but we have to give accountability. So how careful we have to be with our dealings, how we live our life, to give accountability for time. Allah has given us this time every day to take stock of it, that how did I utilize this time of mine? Mentioned one hadith, one incident is mentioned. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates this incident. Under the commentary of the surah of Al-Hakum al-Takathur, amassing and acquiring wealth. Al-Hakum al-Takathur, hatta zurtum al-maqabir, kalla sofa ta'lamun, thumma kalla sofa ta'lamun, kalla law ta'lamun ilm al-yaqeen, latarawunna al-jaheem. Talking about the day of Qiyamah, giving accountability of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. That on that day we have to give accountability. So Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says, mentions one incident, the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says on one occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of the house. It was late at night, it was dark, and he came out of the house, and then he saw Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, late at night, the dark part of the night. And he asked them that what has brought you out this hour of the night? So as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar replied to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they took a qasam that is nothing else except and besides hunger has brought us out at this part of the time. So due to extreme hunger, we are out of the house. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes a qasam, and he takes a qasam in the name of Allah in whose life is my control. He says, that is the very same reason why I am also out at this time of the night. Imagine, we claim to be the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the 10 days of Muharram, we see what is happening. But let us look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Wallahi, we'll cry and we see how Nabi sallallahu lived his life. Yet he was promised. On one occasion, Jibreel alaihi wasallam came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told him that if you wish, not only will I turn these mountains into gold, but they will follow you wherever you go also. Not only will I turn these mountains into gold for you at your discretion to utilize, but they will follow you wherever you are. Sometimes a person at home may be a very, very wealthy person, but he's traveling abroad. His card, we mentioned this incident before, he swipes his card and he declines. He can be the most wealthiest of person in his town, but when he's in a foreign country, he can be taking zakat. Huh? It doesn't work. Card declined. Now he's, yeah. Jibreel said, Nabi Sallam, wherever you go, this wealth will follow you. Nabi Sallam declined it. So he says, this takes a qasam that what has brought you out has also brought me out, hunger. And he holds their hands and he says, come, let's go. And they go to one sahabi, one Ansari's house, and they knock on his door. The wife is at home and they ask for this person. She tells and she replies that he's not here, he's gone out to fetch some water. As they are about to leave, this Ansari comes home and he sees Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He's excited that what guests have come to my house. And he says, today, nobody is more superior to me. Nobody is more honored than me with regards to hosting guests. Look at who I have at my house today. I have none other than the Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Immediately he goes inside. He takes a branch of the khajur that has khajur on it. He says, some was green khajur, some was ripe khajur, some was fully ripe khajur, and he places it in front of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He takes the knife, now he's going to slaughter an animal. Nabi sallallahu tells you, don't slaughter a milk animal, that animal that's giving milk. He goes, he slaughters a sheep, and he prepares the meal, and he gives it to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahaba, and they eat, they drink the water, they eat the meal, they have that khajur, and after they are satisfied, now they are leaving, they're going back home. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, that don't forget. Remember what has brought them out at that hour of the night. Hunger, starvation. Nabi Sallam tells them that on the day of Qiyamah, you will be also accountable for this meal that you have eaten now. Imagine they were hungry that brought them out. They had absolutely nothing in their house. Absolutely nothing in their home. They have come out. Hunger has brought them out that hour of the night. They have barely ate just to fill their stomach. But Nabi Sallam tells them that on the day of Qiyamah, you will be accountable for this meal as well. That you left your home with an empty stomach. You left your home with an empty stomach. And now you are returning back to your home with your belly full. You'll have to give accountability for this ni'mat and this favor of Allah Ta'ala. So let us understand this time that Allah has blessed us with. This health that Allah has blessed us with. All these bounties and these ni'mats Allah has blessed us with. These are all great ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. Never ever be ungrateful. Never look at somebody else's ni'mat and complain. But rather look at what Allah has blessed us with and be grateful. La in shakartum la azidannakum wa la in kafartum inna azabi la shadid. Allah Ta'ala says, that person who is grateful to Allah, who makes shukr to Allah, la in shakartum la azidannakum. Allah will bless you more. Allah will increase your risk and sustenance. But that person who is ungrateful, then the punishment of Allah Ta'ala is very severe. So he says, this is the second thing that I've understood and realized. That I have to give accountability to Allah Ta'ala. Whatever Allah has made compulsory upon me, I else will fulfill it on my behalf. So let us take heed to this. The commands of Allah Ta'ala, that salah is farz upon me. Do not let us overlook it. When the adhan is called out, let us make this pledges of this new year. We don't make resolutions. There's no such thing as a new year that we celebrate. But we can take stock and we can reflect. 1447, I must make some change. I must improve. It's 1 year closer to my mouth. So what change I'm going to make in my life to please my Allah, my Creator? That if it's written that in this year, 1447, that I'm going to meet my Creator this year, we don't know. But let it be such, it's better than last year. At least some effort I am making when I reach my Allah. Who knows whether we will see 1448 or not. Leave 1448, whether we will see tomorrow or tonight, we don't know. So let's make this niyat and this intention that from today that I will change my attitude and I will fulfill the commands of Allah because I have to give accountability. The third thing he says, I realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching me. Allah ta'ala knows and is aware of what I am doing. And in this, the sense of bashfulness has entered into me. That nothing I will do, first, this conscience will come into me that my Allah is watching me. And how is it possible that this kind and compassionate Allah, who has blessed me with so much of ni'mats, who is watching what I am doing, how can I disobey Allah? This is something that also kept me on Sirat-e-Mustaqim, steadfast on deen, that my Allah is always watching me. This quality of haya, of modesty. What is this relationship that with me and my Allah with regards to haya and modesty and bashfulness, that my Allah is watching me? That Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, he says very nice, he summarizes the whole thing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Allah ta'ala is always watching us. And he says it very, very nicely. He summarizes the whole thing in just a few words. He says, Allah yaraka maulaka haythu nahaka. Allah yaraka maulaka haythu nahaka. What is meant? That Allah must not see you in such a place where Allah Ta'ala will be displeased with you. Allah Ta'ala must not see you in such a place where Allah is displeased with you being at that place or that position. This thing we have to keep. Whatever I am going to do, whatever I want to do, wherever I want to go, that is Allah Ta'ala pleased and happy with what I am going to do. Or is going to bring the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. Immediately if you reflect and ponder, then you will stop. This casino, how many a times a person is going to casinos? Is this is a place where my Allah will be happy with me? Just this question. Sometimes, how unfortunate it is, we hear this all the time. A person in at home, five-time namazi, musalli, got a beard, kurta in the first saf. But when he's traveling abroad alone on some business trip, then we see him getting up to mischief and nonsense. Why? Nobody knows me here. I have no family in this country. Nobody knows my number plate here. I've got no friends in this place, but perhaps they can see me. Perchance we might cross paths, or they may see me in my car parked in this casino place, or in this place where I'm not supposed to be. So in some foreign country, nobody knows me. I don't know anybody. So we feel free to do as we please, and we drop our guard. But if you understand and realize Allahu yaraka maulaka haythu nahaka. Will my Allah be pleased with me at this place? What if the angel of death has to take my life at this point? Then what will happen to me? Then everyone will become known, become public. Become public news after that. So he said, this kept me also steadfast in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever a thought would come across the mind to do something, is my Allah pleased or my Allah is displeased? And that will guide me itself. So he says, this is the third thing. And he says, the fourth thing was always a challenge and a tussle for me, is myself and time. Time. How to use my time correctly. This is what we are talking about. How to utilize my time correctly. Because Allah has given us this ni'mat of time that we have to give accountability for. Every second that passes by, we have to give answer to Allah Ta'ala. 1 second we say, Subhanallah, this second became a profitable second. That one tree for me has been planted in Jannat. One Durood Sharif upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I have invested in the bank of Akhirat. It's profitable for me. So he says this management of time, how we use our time. As we mentioned, the time is going by, time is passing. One day we will also pass away. So let us use our time profitably. This new year has started 1447. Let us take stock every day. Before we go to sleep, they say you will make muhasaba. Few minutes and see what a difference it will make in our day. That before we sleep and we are lying down in our bed, it takes 2 to 3 minutes. Just ponder and reflect over the activities of the day. All my activities of the day. How much of it was beneficial and how much of it was useless? If it benefited me in dunya too, then still it is good. But how many a times that hours are wasted in useless activities? How will we give accountability to Allah Ta'ala for this ni'mat of time? And Allah Ta'ala in Quran and Majid, so many places Allah Ta'ala takes qasams on time. Wal asr innal insana lafi khus. And the different aspects of time. Wal duha, wal layli idha yaghsha. All these are qasams of different types of time. Allah Ta'ala takes qasams, showing us the importance that is attached to time. So let us make this firm pledge with ourselves, this year 1447, that it will be a year where we will use it profitably in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. With regards to the commands of Allah Ta'ala, we will fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this year. And like this, we will live our life till the end. And just coming, rounding up now, tomorrow will be the 9th of Muharram, and we know Sunday is the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. Just to finish off, the month of Muharram is an auspicious month. One is, it's the first month of the Islamic month of Muharram. And also this month of Muharram is the month of Allah, Shahrullah. Like how we get Ramadan, the month of the Quran, etc. Month of Zulhijjah, the month of Hajj, Qurbani. The month of Muharram is the month of Allah. And there's virtues that are attached to this month of Muharram itself. The entire month is a great month. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. From the 12 months, Allah Ta'ala has selected 4 months to be sacred. Amongst these 4 sacred months, one of them is the month of Muharram. So this is a sacred month. Let us not disobey Allah Ta'ala. Whole year we mustn't disobey Allah Ta'ala. But disobeying Allah Ta'ala in these months, the sin is also increased. This is a month where we should try to fast in abundance. Mention the hadith, for every one fast in the month of Muharram, equivalent to 30 days of fasting. One fast equivalent to 30 days of fasting. So let us try to fast in this month of Muharram also. And coming to the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, this has its own significance. Inshallah, in South Africa, for you and I, that will be on Sunday, will be the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. So this also, it mentioned in the hadith, you should try to fast on this day of Ashura. I mentioned the hadith that there is no other significant great day that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wait and anticipate to fast on more than the day of the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. Nabi sallam should wait and anticipate for this day to fast on the day of Ashura. So let us try to fast, and the virtue it mentioned that the previous minor sins, the entire year's minor sins is forgiven for that person, inshallah, who will fast on the day of Ashura. And together with that, Nabi Sallam mentioned the year before he passed away. The year before he passed away, he mentioned that in the coming year, if I see the year on the day of the 10th of Muharram, then to oppose the Jews, to oppose the Jews, that we will fast on the 9th of Muharram and the 10th of Muharram, or the 10th and the 11th, to oppose the Jews. So we also, we should try to fast on the 9th, that is Saturday and Sunday, or Sunday and Monday. We should not just fast on the 10th, but rather on the 9th and 10th, or the 10th and the 11th as well. So try to keep these fast, brothers. These are great days, the opportunities that Allah Ta'ala has given us. Let us take full advantage of it. And there are a few things also we should refrain from as well. One is the day of Ashura. Another virtue of Ashura, it is mentioned that we should spend more on our family on the day of Muharram, on the day of Ashura. And the virtue, it is mentioned that Allah Ta'ala will increase a person's rizq and give him barakah for the entire coming year. So this also we should try to increase something in the home with regards to some meal, little bit extra. It does not mean now we must be extravagant. It does not mean we must do a waste and go out of our means and have a 5-course, 10-course meal, but merely something extra over and above the norm. Over and above the norm. If you're having something, maybe some sweet dish, or cook to prepare two different items on meals on the dastarkhan, and this is with regards to our family. There's no such thing now, we must have big parties and invite people and have a whole big party at home, 50, 100 people, and say this is Ashura. No, so now family members at home. Sometimes you go out of the limits. And another thing also we should understand, there is no such thing as Ashura gifts. Now we find it's becoming a common trend. People are using and commercializing it now. And the advertising for Ashura gifts, there's no such thing like this on the day of Ashura. The hadith mentions spending on the family, not exchanging gifts. Now this has become a new custom, a new trend in our communities. And people are now using this and advertising these things. We should stay away from all these things. What is mentioned to the hadith, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us, this is what we should do. So let us refrain from all these things which is not part of deen. There's no reward in it. Yes, giving gifts in general, any other time of the year, there's great rewards on it. But to specifically to apply to the 10th of Muharram, nothing of this is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let us try to refrain and we stay away from all these things. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.